Station, Adventist Reflections. Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
Hi, family. Welcome to Adventist Reflections, your character building ideas podcast. Today we will explore lesson 10, named God's Everlasting Gospel. This lesson is based on chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. My podcast family, I would like to say to you that I have been praying for all of you that these messages may be messages that encourage your Christian walk in your faith. Perhaps these messages will allow you to find a faith. I'd like to send a special message to all of you from around the world for supporting this podcast. Today, I send a special warm regard to our listeners from Canada, the Philippines, Japan, Kenya, Nigeria, PNG, the United States, Samoa, Uganda, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, Grenada, and of course, my home base in Australia. I also praise God for today's tunes, which were kindly produced by a young mighty man of God, Michael Richards, from the Mount Tambourine Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you, Michael. Keep on glorifying God with your talent. Now, let us reflect. Last week, we talked about the dragon and his allies. If in doubt, I highly recommend you to go back and listen to that episode. As Satan empowers the beast to persuade and utilize deception and even force people unto death as a last resource, we must appreciate the fact of the truth, because after all, the truth is that which set us free. I would like us to reflect today in three key ideas. Idea number one is the idea of fearing God and giving glory to God. Idea number two, the idea of worshiping God. And idea number three, the idea of God's love in His warnings. First, the idea of fearing God and giving glory to God. Having the fear of God and giving glory to God are two concepts that cannot be separated. In fact, I dare to say that these have a significant overlap. Revelation 14, verses 6 to 8 said, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of waters." For some, the fear of God is literal and impending. This is for them who we studied before as crying to the mountains and rocks to fall on them because the wrath of God is coming upon them. We found that in Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And a similar image of that wrath is observed in Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11. However, this same fear is not perceived by those who love God and have washed their robes with the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, that the fear of God is to hate evil. Proverbs 15:3 states that this fear, the fear of God, is the instruction of wisdom. A similar concept is found in Proverbs 9:10, which says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 19:23 says that the fear of God gives life, and those who have it will be satisfied. Chapter 10 of Proverbs tells us that who is wise is also righteous. So, wisdom gives way to the fear of God, and that leads us to righteousness. My beloved listener, the fear of God for those who will be found sealed by God's mark is nothing else but hating evil, rejecting to the wickedness, and doing what is right because it is right, because God says so, not questions asked. The Bible says that those who live with the fear of God live not scared or afraid of God, but on the contrary, they live a life that is satisfied. It just makes sense. So much sense that even psychologists have observed this. Plenteous evidence demonstrates that those who give and serve are less likely to be depressed and anxious. Evidence shows that when someone has a positive regard for God, they may tend to be more protected against suicidal ideations. However, the contrary might be also found. When someone behaves against his or her conscience, psychological affliction follows. When God calls you to fear Him, as described in the book of Revelation, God is telling you to do what is right because He loves you, because He wants you to live a fulfilled life, because He knows that this is linked to your acceptance of His righteousness, and because this links to your salvation. It is here that I would like us to reflect on the idea of worship to God, because this, without a doubt, is attached to giving glory to God. You see, when God sent the angel to tell everyone to do what is right, He said that we must glorify the Creator. But God is so loving that He tells us how this can be done. After all, in this world filled with secular relativism, where postmodern science denies absolute truth, how are you supposed to know what is right? How are you supposed to know how to give glory to God? How to worship Him? One of my dear local Sabbath school members, Charlie, shared with me once something very inspirational. She said, "I worship God all the time because I need it. I live and breathe God and for God." How truthful. Giving glory to God is all about giving it all to Him, doing what is right in everything we do for Him. Jesus came and left a legacy, reassuring of God's giving principles. He said this in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, as follows. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Because we are discussing about giving glory to God, I would like to just focus on the first and greatest commandment. This doesn't imply that we can separate the first and the second, for we read that the second is linked to the first, or vice versa. For this episode, however, let us reflect on these character-building questions. What does love God with all your heart means? How do you love Him with all your mind? How do you give it all to God? I don't know if you find these all difficult questions to answer. From the top of my head, I found it that way. That is, if I were to not go back to find its meaning as proven by the Bible, it will be quite difficult to pinpoint what is right and what is wrong. According to God, that is. In fact, allow me to be provocative here in saying that God knew that we needed much guidance about how to do it. Nobody can know better than God about how to best love Him. And may I dare say about how He wants us to love Him. This is the very reason that God left principles that are very practical to give Him glory, to worship Him day and night, to not be deceived and not receive the mark of the beast, but His mark, the mark of God. We find these principles in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 11. Principle number 1, have no other gods. Principle number 2, do not make yourself idols or images and do not worship them. This includes praying or paying reverence to this. Principle number 3, do not use God's name in vain. Have respect towards His name. And principle number 4, remember God's Sabbath day to keep it holy. Last episode, we talked about Satan's deception through the two beasts which blaspheme against God because they make mockery against His commandments. My friends, God's everlasting gospel includes and it's based on these principles. It is interesting to note that the language used in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7 is similar to that language used in Exodus 20:11. This is all about worship, my friends. Either worship God, the Creator, and follow His commandments, or worship the beast in His image, in His man-made systems. The denomination here is irrelevant as far as this truth is concerned. Either the Church of God follows God in His fear, doing what is right, worshiping God in His commandments, or not. My beloved listener, where do you stand? I hope and pray that after all this, you might be found amongst those described in Revelation chapter 14, 12 to 13, which says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." That you find yourself among those who are blessed despite of dying when they die in God's given faith and His commandments, because by following this right doing, God accounts this for their salvation. Lastly, I propose to you that this message in Revelation 14 is attached to a message of warning, which is in fact a message of love where mercy and justice meets. Revelation 14 also says that God's justice must be delivered. His strange act of destroying all which stand for wickedness and mockery, which goes against God's commandments, must be eradicated. At that time, opportunity for true heartfelt repentance is no longer. Nor is there any desire by the wicked to do good, and neither is there any desire by the righteous to do evil. This is described in Revelation 22, verse 11. It is for both groups' sake that the third angel's message of Revelation must come to pass. Some have portrayed this message in Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11, as one describing God as wicked, since after all, those destroyed will be tormented day and night in fire, also known as hell. But my friends, scripture is clear about these symbolisms. This imagery can be seen in Isaiah chapter 34, verses 3 to 4, and verses 7 to 9, as well as in the book of Jude, verse 7. These verses describe that the fire that destroys the wicked is not an ongoing fire, but that their eternal image is that of being irreversible. Beloved family, God's love and mercy are evident in this message. He desires for you to live forever and not to cease to exist forever. He longs to spend time with you. He longs to spend eternity with you. He desires you to enjoy heaven where all things are ruled and based on His commandments. He longs for you to enjoy His presence, His glory and character here today as you follow God's commandments and pursue and sustain the faith of Jesus. Indeed, it is my desire and it is my prayer that you take God's mark, that you may be found with the seal of God, that you flee deception, and that the word of God be real to you even today, as He says, "Blessed are they that do my commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and that they might enter in through the gates into my city." Amen. Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.